Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway. Oh, wow.
You're simply the best.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games. Right here.
For King G, where comfort is king.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Triple M rocks the NRL. Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Yes, hello and welcome to the penultimate weekend of the NRL season. A weekend in which already we have seen the Melbourne Storm go through to the grand final. Convincing winners over the Raiders, 30 points to 10. It was over fairly quickly. The show, though, just beginning. And what a stellar cast we have once more. Nathan Brown, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler. My name is Tony Squires. Well, welcome, team.
Hello, Tony. Hello, everyone. Yeah, nice to be here. It's a very exciting day for the people of Western Sydney today. Mm-hmm. Obviously going, those that make their way out to ANZ Stadium, we're going to enjoy that. And those sitting at home. It's been a while for the Penny Panthers. Last prelim final might have been 2014.
You've got some nerves?
Yeah, I think South Sydney are a side that I think make anyone nervous, especially when they're in, you know, the form that they are at the moment. And watching the Raiders just get blown away last night, and the way that, you know, Cameron and led that Melbourne side makes it a daunting task next week for whoever gets in there, but one step at a time.
Have you enjoyed getting a bit of airtime this week? Your old games, the glory days, 2003, it's been all over Fox League this week. You been tuning in for that?
Oh, I haven't actually. No, I've got Kayo.
Same thing, really.
Is it the same
thing?
Yeah, same
thing. You've been everywhere.
Games? Yeah, no.
Every time I turn it on, you're on.
Okay, yeah. No. Well, we had a good run and it's been a while, as I said, so yeah, that's cool.
Your wife ever seen you? She obviously, you know, you met her after you'd finished playing. Have you sat her down in front of the TV and played some old vision?
No, I haven't.
No?
No.
Oh, what about your kids?
The girls like to watch the games. They love the Panthers, and so when they're on, they watch it now. And every now and again, there'll be an old game. They'll see some clips, but
we're gonna get into memories. Speaking of memories, there's still more than just memories for Cam Smith, and we're gonna get into some detail in a moment about the retirement. Should he, has he, will he, won't he? But the preemptive strike of the lap of honour and being chaired off was sensational viewing last night.
Yeah, it was great, wasn't it? And once again, the. Played a big part in the Melbourne Storm winning again, didn't he? You know, so his ability to keep playing at a high level at that age, and it seems he's just never injured. Like, I think he had a slight ankle injury once, and that shoulder earlier this year, where if they wanted to push him, they could have pushed him. It's like remarkable that someone can play at that level for so long and still be the number one competitor on the ground. So Canberra looked likely to score at some stage last night, and who appears again? Is the hooker and captain, and that'll be his great legacy that he'll leave behind. We got a picture of Slade Griffin. I coached at Newcastle, where Slade Griffin put kick pressure on the halfback. Can't remember who were playing. I'm not sure it was Parramatta or someone. So he's knocked the kicker over, and then got up off the ground. Parramatta got the kick back, and we're going to score in the far corner. And Slade Griffin was the bloke that held him up. And if you watch Harry Grant at the Tigers, who appears in the picture when the Tigers are a leak and points to save tries, it's Harry Grant. And that's the great legacy that Cameron Smith's going to leave behind.
So it is those things that coaches love, isn't it? And I call them 1%ers in AFL, but the second efforts that the players come up with.
If you look at the game now, and it's obviously the new rules, we all agree it's much more open, there's a lot more tries scored. And generally the sides that win, it's not the ones that score the most, it's the ones that save the most, because all sides are leaking breaks. Every side's, you know, the sides that are playing, that are going to play tonight, there'll be breaks made by South Sydney and breaks made by Penrith. It's the ones that with the ability to save the most tries will win the contest.
And Em, good news, because you'll be doing the sideline for the grand final.
I'll be doing sideline for grand final, yes. Good news for me, not so much for Dobbo. Mm-hmm. I mean, usually Dobbo does get to do it, but because of the border restrictions, he can't come down. But that's okay. I'm happy to...
You've heard the right, Em. It's
have
time.
I?
You have, absolutely.
I think that's probably the nicest thing you've ever said.
See, even despite the border stuff, Em,
are you feeling okay?
It's probably going to happen anyway. We'll speak to Dobbo later to get his chance to put his case a little bit later in the show. We are going to speak with Kevvy Walters as well, and the Fox himself, who's playing great football, Josh Addo.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, amazing. He also joined us so much ahead. Next, we'll dig a bit deeper into that win, as I said, at the Taipower scoreboard. Storm 30, The Raiders 10, the Storm are going to the grand final. Triple M rocking the footy. And the Melbourne Storm rocked the Raiders last night. 30 points to 10 on the Tyre Power scoreboard. They are through to the grand final. They are really through to the grand final after about a quarter of an hour. They led by 16-0 at that stage. It was just an awesome performance from them. Gerds, I'd have to say also from Canberra, and Ricky Stewart said it, they weren't up to what he was expecting.
Yeah, well, no, I don't think anyone expected the Melbourne Storm to come out like that. Like, yep. They've been building towards something, but I don't think they've been that polished all year. They isolated Rapana down that right-hand side, and they just pulled that side apart with their attack. It was swift, it was crisp, and straight away, you know, I think three tries in 10 minutes, and it's just the worst possible side to let get to a lead. They're probably the best side in the competition at just controlling those situations. They then just suffocated the life out of the Raiders, who, and I know they had to travel off on the day and had a fair few things go against them, and just obviously didn't handle that so well and just didn't get out of the blocks good enough, and the game was over after 20 minutes, Tone.
They didn't give up as we expected, the Raiders, but they're just too good, Storm, weren't they?
Yeah, the Raiders missed the jump, didn't they? And yep. The Storm started extremely quick. And you know, one of the issues for most sides when they play the Storm, or pretty much every side, if Storm open you up, Papenhuyzen and the Fox, if they're not the two fastest blokes in the game, they're two of the top three or four fastest blokes in the game, and they're both in the same team. So if they go through and those two blokes appear, it's hard for the other side to hold them back, you know, and it's a huge advantage at speed. So the Storm started quick and the Raiders were a bit off the pace, and it took the Raiders about 25 minutes to find their groove, and they found their groove and then it became a contest, but it was too late, unfortunately. And, you know, what a huge year the Raiders have had, though. Like, honestly, with the people forget they spent the first 6 weeks on the road.
Yeah.
They had six of their top 17 players out injured last night and have been out injured for a long time. One of them being their hooker, who everyone said once he was injured couldn't play. You know, Emre Gula, I think, will play for Australia, the front rower. And you go through the rest of them, but their right centre and right winger are out. You know, you just start looking at how many players they had out for such a long period and what they achieved. You know, I know Ricky Stewart's disappointed, and, you know, when you lose a grand final qualifier, it's devastating because, you know, so they're hard to get to. But what they achieved, they went through more than any other team in the competition this year to get there. Huge effort by Ricky and the Raiders.
They did such a good job, didn't they, to try and band-aid all of those injuries. And other teams had injuries too, but to such key players that the Raiders had. And they just never gave up. And I think it was Dale Finucane straight after halftime that they just completely dragged back, 10 metres or so back into the in goal. And you thought that's the fight that the Raiders have. But it was just unfortunate that it was too late, because that first 25 minutes was incredible. I think the Storm were 17 out of 17 with their completions. It was just incredible. And I think from a fan's point of view, maybe we would have liked a tighter contest, but you've just got to sit back and marvel at what the Melbourne Storm have been able to create over the last decade. That was their, I think, eighth prelim final in 10 years. So such an incredible organisation.
They have that much scoreboard pressure on that early as well, changes the way that they play the Raiders a little bit. There was opportunities there where they were able to get themselves in good field position, or they were able to get arms free, but they just weren't ready to pass the football because, you know, they completed at 70%. They wanted to go back to the fundamentals, trying to get through their sets, get to their kicks. But when opportunities came up to get themselves back into the contest, they weren't game enough to take them. And you can understand why, because they were already 24 points behind. So it was just a mountain too big to climb. Yeah.
And the great thing with the Storm, which I think everyone fails to acknowledge, is, you know, Billy Slater went and that was supposed to be the end of him. And all of a sudden, Papenhuyzen comes through their system. They don't go and buy high profile. Cooper Cronk goes, oh, it's going to be over now. And they don't go and buy. They transfer a bloke who's a 5'8 fullback into a halfback. And then Cameron Smith, if he goes next year, they don't go to the market. They bring in their own. And, you know, as far as sporting organisations go, I don't think anyone will ever doubt this 20-year period of the Storm.
No, absolutely not. And you mentioned that the halfback, Cooper Cronk, went and last night. And look, all season he's been okay. No, really good, but he was sensational, Jerome Hughes, last night. Absolutely sensational. This is what Coach Craig Bellamy had to say.
I asked for him to be a bit more involved earlier tonight. I think in the Parramatta game, in our semi-final, he probably let things flow a little bit too much instead of backing himself. And I thought he backed himself tonight, and we got the rewards for that. You know, he's a talented player, Jerome. It took him a little while to find what position he's best suited to. It took him a little while to find his confidence in his ability, but he has got that much ability. We just need to keep encouraging him to make those decisions and take the options that he sees and back himself. And I think he done that tonight right from that first try we scored.
He looked the goods, didn't he?
Shows you where the club's at, doesn't it? When, you know, Cam Smith and Cam Munster were really solid. Always know what you're going to get out of those guys. But this year was always going to be about, you know, what sort of player does Hughes develop into? How does Pappenhausen develop? What do they get out of guys like Olam, who's now got a little bit more first grade under his belt? And I thought Christian Welch last night was unbelievable. He led their line speed. I thought Jerome Hughes was probably, you know, the player that stood out the most. But behind the scenes, he was a guy that... he never let the Raiders... He won the battle in the middle, I thought. Everyone talks about Bromwich and obviously some of the... And Big Tino and Nelson. But I thought Christian Welch is probably their unsung hero of this final series so far. He's in great touch.
With Jerome Hughes, it's incredible to think at the start of last year, he was their starting fullback. And then you fast forward to a 2020 prelim and he's man of the match at halfback, where he's only just... It's first full season really in that position. And Pappenhausen too, we've mentioned it a number of times throughout the year, but the fact that he was the third string fullback, it was Hughes, then it was Drinkwater, but he gets his chance. And I think Cam Smith mentioned that in the press conference, that not once in the last 10 years have they gone and bought a representative player. They just develop these kids and I guess turn them into rep players. So
and you mentioned it, and Brownie, you mentioned it, just the reputation and the success story that Melbourne Storm has been in the NRL. As I said, Premiers 99, 2012, 2017, four minor premierships, 11, 16, 17, 19. The past 5 years, they've been in the top two. The past 5 years. I mean, their consistency is absolutely astonishing. And Cameron Smith did talk about that success last night.
We've been talking over the last couple of weeks and just reflecting on what... You know, our organisation has been able to do over the last decade. Like, this is... Tonight was our eighth prelim in 10 years. Pretty special effort. How many grand finals is that?
How many is that, Frank?
In the last 10. You know, it's five. Like, we've been in every second grand final for the last 10 years. So I'm just really proud of the way this footy side and our organisation just seems to front up every year. It doesn't matter who pulls on a jersey, who's working in the coaching staff, who's working in the front office. Everyone just... turns up every day and does their very best. And it's why we've been able to have sustained success for such a long time.
It is remarkable. The Storm story is absolutely remarkable. They are in Melbourne, obviously, and the AFL stronghold. They continue to churn out great performances for their fans and for the game.
Yeah, you go back to the, you know, I think what probably highlighted, you know, Craig Bellamy's greatness as a coach was, you go back to when they got in trouble for the salary cap,
yep,
and they had to let all those players go. Like, I think we all thought, obviously they kept Cooper, they kept Billy and they kept Cameron, but they went to the bush and got Brian Norrie from the bush, and Adam Woolnough was backpacking, and those blokes played in a winning grand final. Like, it's a great story. Huh? So it's an outstanding story, and hopefully when Craig Bellamy goes, it can continue. Whether that can or not, I don't know, but hopefully for the game itself down in Melbourne, it can.
And I think at that organisation, everyone is... feels very much a part of it. I know Finchie told a great story once at Fox League and said one of his first week there, when Cam Smith came over and said, mate, what do you think of the game plan? And he said, I couldn't believe that Cam Smith was asking me what I thought. And he said, maybe Cam didn't really care what I thought, but he made me feel like I was important and that it mattered what I thought. And he said, that made me want to play for them so much more, because it didn't feel like there was this hierarchy. You're in that first grade side, you're all just as equal as one another. So it's, pretty special what they've been able to do.
Absolutely brilliant. Obviously crushing for the other side, for the Raiders. And as you said, Brownie, they've achieved a great deal to get where they have this season after their desperately unlucky loss in the grand final last year. They played the Roosters last week. They got through there emotionally. Maybe that took a bit out of them. Certainly Ricky Stewart, who is an emotional human being at the best of times, he was in the media conference afterwards, just answering the one question before he absented himself. But let's have a listen.
First 25 minutes, we had no footy. We didn't defend well. 4-0 was really disappointing because we were passive in defence and we didn't start well, and it was not us. I can handle the loss, but I'm just really disappointed that we didn't play to our... we didn't have one of our better games tonight. Disappoints you because, you know, you're better than that. But Melbourne did a really good job.
You know, we hung around and tried to turn it around, but Melbourne just wouldn't let us. You know, I'm very proud of where we got to. I'm disappointed in not going one step further because I think we're better than what we showed tonight. You can't take it for granted in getting to this position on in the season because you fight so hard to get here and put so much work into get to this stage of the season, and for us to let ourselves down like that in the first 25 minutes is the disappointing part. But I can handle the loss, but I genuinely you know, wish Craig and Cameron and their team all the best for next week. Cheers.
I don't have any problem with that, though. I mean, he spoke for about 2 minutes. He basically spoke to all of the key issues, didn't he? Wish Storm all the best, and then left, and you know, without answering any more questions. But there's no issue with that, is there?
He summed up the whole game as we all thought it was. In the first 20 minutes, they weren't quite there. The Storm got away. You know, was very, very grateful towards how good the Storm are, and Bellyache and Cameron Smith, and didn't complain about no one. As after the grand final, they lost just, he didn't complain or whinge about injuries or anything. Ricky's just give a nice preview of the game and he left. I don't have a problem with it at all.
I think that's completely fine. Yeah. And really, any question that anyone's going to ask, they're going to get the same answer anyway. And usually journos do that. They'll think, okay, he's given that answer. Let me try and ask it a different way to get the answer I want. But he was not going to give anything more than that because it's very tough to take. He's an emotional person as it is. We know he's one of the most passionate coaches that there are. So,
and it wasn't a one-word answer. No. It was a big essay.
Yeah,
exactly. It was a huge answer.
Exactly. So and he doesn't need to buy in. The next question is probably about Cameron Smith. And he doesn't need to buy into whether Cameron's going to retire or not. So,
as Em said, who is a journalist, just said they would have tried to ask another headline. Question the different way.
They try that. Or they would have, you know, asked a Storm the team to go on and win it. Will they win next week? And Ricky doesn't care who's going to go on and win it. He wanted to go on and win it. So I was totally fine with that. But I loved seeing as well Ricky or Craig go into
the
Raiders sheds and have a beer. And they usually do that because they're such good mates. But that's just, I think, perfectly sums up the great sportsmanship and what rugby league can bring. So the fact that they're both ultra competitive but were still able to do that, I think was so nice to see.
Yeah, well played, Canberra Raiders. An amazing season. Well done indeed to Ricky Stewart and the Green Machine. Will Cameron Smith retire? Was that what we saw last night, his last run around in Queensland? Who knows? We'll get there next on the Saturday Scrum. Thanks.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
30 points to 10, the Melbourne Storm over the Raiders. Melbourne go through to the grand final next week. They'll play either Penrith or South Sydney. That game will be decided this evening. All right, Cameron Smith. Now, was it a just-in-case chairlift off the field? Was it just-in-case that he is retiring, that he did a little lap of honour after getting an early mark from his coach? It would seem a win in next week's grand final would be the perfect opportunity and perfect way for him to go out. But once again, he said, well, I don't know. I'm not sure whether he actually doesn't know or he just doesn't want to tell anybody. He was brilliant again last night. Let's have a little listen to his coach and Cam Smith, what they had to say after the game.
I think this place got some explaining to do. Got some photos over in front of the fans, and then big fella pulled me up, said we weren't going anywhere.
I just thought it'd be a good idea in case it is, but who knows? You know, but he ain't telling no one. But again, I just think it'd be a nice photo if he does decide, you know, in January to pull the pin or wherever. Well, that's what he done in Origin. He's waited 2 weeks. Poor old Kevy had a heart attack. So again, I just thought it was the right thing to do in case it is his last game at Suncorp. He's had obviously a lot of wonderful memories here. And
again, is that your last game, Cameron, Suncorp?
I can't tell you, Dubbo. I don't know. All I'm worried about this year is trying to play well. Just enjoy watching these young fellas grow as footballers and grow as men. I've been very fortunate in my career to be involved in some really big games with the Storm, and lucky enough to win some premierships along the way. There's a handful of, well, there's a lot of guys starting out their career that haven't had that opportunity yet, and I'm just enjoying their success at the moment and sharing in their journey. So I haven't thought past that.
What do we think?
I reckon he knows what he's doing, but he doesn't want to make it about him. That's what Bellyache spoke to him the other week. Bellyache said something in one of the press conferences recently, maybe a week or so ago, during this week, where he thought it'd be good to give him a send-off if he is retired. And Cameron Smith said, well, why do I need a send-off? So I'm pretty convinced that Cameron Smith knows what he's doing. He's going to retire, but he doesn't want any distraction or anything about him.
And do you think only – I thought that too, but I thought potentially only he and Bellamy know? Do you think the whole squad knows? Because surely someone would have, it would have leaked somehow when you've got a squad that big.
They're probably assuming like we are.
I think they're assuming, but yeah. I feel like probably Cam and Craig know.
Barbara would know, wouldn't she?
Oh, well, yeah, but I mean, from the squad, no, just cut her out of it.
Pretty confident. The wife always knows.
But just in case, I mean, it was the perfect picture, wasn't it? It's across the papers. It's all over social media. It was.
But you accept the chairlift from your teammates if you know you're not retiring? I mean, it screams.
I don't know. I'm not an elite athlete. I'm not.
He got put in an awkward position, though, didn't he, when the coach says something like that? It's such an interesting one. I don't know. I can't see. Like, you look at the address before the game to the players. You look at, you know, the incident that Brownie spoke about, the way that he's playing at the moment, and why does age need to be a factor? If he's mentally and physically still at the top of his game, which no one can deny.
He's doing it on his ear, mate.
He's making a decision based on, and it shouldn't come down to this, and unfortunately it's a position that he finds himself in. Is he making a decision based on a guy that's waiting to take his spot at Melbourne? And if that guy wasn't there, would he be considering a retirement? Would there be a need for, is there a need for him to retire? Because form would say that he could go on another year. I understand that he probably doesn't want to go to another club. I think the Gold Coast thing's romantic, and I don't think that it hurt his legacy at all. I think that it would be a great thing for the game. If he could pass on some of that knowledge to other players, I think he's only going to benefit those guys and the game in general. But I don't know. Maybe, I can't see him retiring if they lose a grand final. He's too competitive, isn't he? Mm. He'd want another shot, wouldn't he?
Pete Bedell from the Courier Mail asked that. He said, if you win next week... He said, mate, that's a perfect way to go out. So does that influence your decision, the result next week? But, you know, Cam gave a typical answer. I'm not looking ahead to next week. It's just about playing my best. Mm. But it is. It's the, I guess, perfect. It's the fairy tale ending, isn't it?
Yeah.
But if he's so ultra competitive, if he feels like he can go again, then the only thing stopping him really is Harry Grant.
I think so.
Harry Grant's the only thing.
What about that, Brownie? You got a pretty... some young players going into that grand final with Melbourne next week that we've spoken about at the start of the show. How do you think it would affect them? You know, would it take a little bit of the heat off them knowing that a lot of the attention's going to be on Smith, Cameron Smith, if he comes out and says that he's going to retire? Would that be good for the team in general, or would it be a negative?
The thing about it is it's a grand final, so they're going to be looking to compete at their best. So, you know, could it be a little bit of a distraction? I think if Cameron Smith does decide to retire, that he may have thought that it could be a distraction. So why distract people? Because they've got a number of players coming into their first grand final, haven't they? As you just mentioned, there's a couple of them there coming in for their first grand final. And blokes, you know, have been around the traps a bit. You know, Brenko Lee, you know, Justin Olam, who's come through the Q Cup system. So there's certainly a number of players that's their first year. And Cameron would have a reason why he's not saying it. And it may well be that reason, Gerds. It could be, but... I think he definitely knows what he's doing. I reckon he would have known for a little while now. I reckon he's obviously spoke about it with his wife, and they're very comfortable with what they're doing. And Storm have always been comfortable with when he announced it, haven't they? You know, and I'm sure Bellake's had a few muckabouts and jibes with him, and maybe Bellake does know. Maybe he does know. But I think he made it quite clear last week to Bellake, I don't need a send-off. I don't want a send-off.
I want him to have a send-off.
He deserves it.
Well, what about when JT, quite deservedly when he retired, but the back half of the year, every club was, you know, doing a...
It was a farewell tour for JT.
Exactly. Clap him off as he went through. It was brilliant. You know, Cam Smith is our greatest. So to see that moment last night was terrific. You got that moment there, and, you know, he's going to get some kind of moment next weekend, which is as deserved for a player who leads in every way. This great game of ours. Now, when we talk about that, when we talk about being able to replace people, if Cam Smith, if this is his final season, does the Melbourne Storm just keep ticking on?
I'm guaranteed they keep ticking on, and they'll be in the top four or five teams again next year. And do you miss Cameron Smith? Do you miss Cooper Cronk? Do you miss Billy Slater? Of course you do. Mm. You can't not miss those blokes. They're going to go down as immortals of this era. But Harry Grant will come in and he'll do the job that Harry Grant does, and the coach will work out what they need to do, and they'll keep ticking over.
And you bring up a great point, Tone, because it's not always just about the player and what they want. It's about the fans and the game celebrating, you know, what they've been able to achieve. And Cameron mightn't like the focus, and he might think he'll play better without it, especially going into a finals campaign. But yeah, there's people that, you know, need to say goodbye and want to show their respects for what he's done to the game. So
absolutely.
It's an interesting one.
I guess the thing with Cameron Smith is, for, you know, all of the fans that love him and want to celebrate him, there are some that just want to bring him down as well, whether it be fans, commentators, journalists, or anyone. Everyone, I feel like, is very, we all know, so easy to criticise Cameron Smith, and then maybe the story will be, oh, Cam's making it about him, so maybe he wants to not open himself up for that as well, potentially.
Well,
he's copped a lot throughout his career.
You cannot.
Well, if he chases someone like Nick Kotrick down and holds him up and stops him scoring a try, nobody can really complain.
Someone will find something to complain about.
Absolutely. Who will Melbourne Storm be up against next week in the grand final? Will it be the Panthers? Will it be the Rabbitohs? We'll see if we can nut that out next on the Saturday Scrum.
Due to the rapid rate of infection, we can no longer continue to play. We have made the unprecedented decision to suspend the 2020 season.
A season like no other. It's been the toughest season of all time. I didn't think we'd get here. But after COVID bubbles, new rules, footies dunked in sanitizer, and Peter Volandis, we are so, so close to having a new NRL champion.
Here we go. The finals are here at last. GOLD Gold.
Who will make the NRL grand final? It's down to this.
The Panthers. Incredible.
Oh, the Rabbitohs are white hot tonight.
Dalfinuken carries the Storm into another grand final. The Canberra Raiders, a brave season, comes to a heartbreaking end.
Bring it on.
Well, part of that equation has been solved. Melbourne Storm are through to the grand final, 30-10 winners over the Raiders. It now comes down to the Penrith Panthers and the South Sydney Rabbitohs playing tonight, 7:50 ANZ Stadium. You will, of course, hear it right here on Triple M. Ryan Girdler, I know you're feeling a little bit flighty about your Panthers this evening. They have a great opportunity, though, don't they?
Yeah, they've earned the right, Tony, haven't they? They had a week off last week, and you just get the feeling that that's the way that Ivan planned. We saw Melbourne gave their guys the last round off and then played a week, won that game, and then had last week off, and then we saw how fresh they were. So Penrith, with a younger squad, had the benefit of the weekend off and will go into tonight's game as favourites against the Bunnies, who have turned their season around at the sort of halfway mark. You didn't know what you were going to get on a weekly basis with South Sydney, and just gradually over the probably past 6 or 7 weeks, they've shown glimpses until we got to that Roosters game where they just blew them off the park, and that was probably an 80-minute performance that I've seen from South. Other times, I think that they've just done enough to win. They're that good with the football that they know that they can, you know, they get themselves into situations that they can get themselves out of. And I think that's the big danger for South Sydney tonight. They had 30 minutes off last week against Parramatta, where Parramatta scored, you know, 18 points or something. And South knew that at the end, if they just stuck to what they do and they got their fair share of possession, that'd run over the top of the Eels. They did that. But I think they need to be wary about that sort of mistake tonight.
In what's been a massive season for the Panthers, win after win after win. Their first 20 minutes have been brilliant. That fast start with South Sydney, like they let Parramatta get away last week, that would be tough to claw back a team like Penrith in the form they're in.
Well, we saw last night, didn't we? The Raiders, like a lot of the favourites, started slow in the previous semi-final and were able to regroup and get back into the contest. But when you're playing, you know, yeah, you know, top teams 1 and 2, they're 1 and 2 for a reason. And I would have thought if Penrith did start fast and get a jump on South Sydney, you would have thought it'd be extremely difficult for them to come back, you know. So the pleasing thing for Penrith, I think, is that the Roosters started fast on them and were down 10-0 quick, and that was a real challenge. That was the challenge that I wanted to see Penrith have before I'd be convinced that they could go all the way, and they certainly regrouped and found their way back in the contest and beat obviously a very good Roosters side in their first semi-final.
How much does experience at this end of the season come into it? Because the last 2 years, the Bunnies have been in prelim finals. During the week, they said, yes, that is motivation, whereas there's only a handful of the Panthers players really that have. Tamo, Coruscant. Kurt Capewell's been in some for the Sharks. So
there's no doubt having that experience is good for the South Sydney blokes. They'll go and they know what to expect. They know how it's going to be. Where the Panthers, a lot of their players, it's still unknown for them. And we've seen sides go in these situations where they've played well all year and they can falter at the last hurdle and gain experience out of it. And this is, you know, I've made this point about Mitchell Moses. Well, Mitchell Moses gets criticised for his performance in big games, but Mitchell Moses has played bugger all big games. He's only played a couple.
Yeah.
And now, you know, Parramatta played two more this year, and big games about practice. The more you practice at it, the better you get. And there's no better guide than the Melbourne Storm. And, you know, we had Cooper Cronk and Billy Slater and Cameron as younger players. It took them four finals appearances before they were able to get Melbourne Storm into a grand final and win a grand final. So it's not easy. But, you know, Penrith, can they get the business done tonight? We'll have to wait and see.
I think they need to start fast as well. You spoke about what happened a couple of weeks ago against the Roosters. That was at home. They were comfortable. It was in their own environment. They had their own fans there. And they found a way to obviously get back into the game and then go on with it and get the win. But if they do that tonight at ANZ, where I think the Rabbits have won 7 out of their last 8 against Penrith, and they've got young guys that have never been in a big game like that before, and they find themselves behind the 8 ball at a ground that they're not familiar with, it's not, you know, I don't know how much it's going to take just to rattle them just that little bit. And South Sydney, that's what they'll be sweating on. What Em just spoke about in relation to experience and that, if you're looking for a crack in the armour of Penrith, it needs to be that, because, you know, the way they attack, the way they defend, the way they go about their business, the way they play to a plan, it's hard to pick fault. But if you then go through their side and have a look at the inexperience there and some of these young guys that are in their first or second year of first grade, you've got to say, well, pressure's the one thing that we need to put them under on a ground that they're not so familiar with to try and take advantage of.
The centre position is one where you can get isolated in defence on those edges. Now, Campbell Graham's been playing terrific for South Sydney. He's been mentioned in terms of the Blues, the Origin squad. He's out. Jed Cartwright, young kid, who's, of course, his name is synonymous with the Panthers.
So ironic, isn't it?
Isn't it? Now he gets that shot.
Campbell's been great, hasn't he? Yeah. And not just, you know, with the ball, but without the ball. And that's key, because this is the side, both Penrith and South Sydney like to attack that left-hand edge. Now, Kickow's not going to be there, but Capewell comes in and he's a fairly apt replacement. But then you've got the combination of Luai, you've got Edwards around the back, and you've got Crichton there. So it's and the Source on the wing. So those guys have been, you know, driving defences mad all season. So Cartwright, he comes in. I think he's played a little bit of back row. So it's certainly not going to be an issue for him, you know, about how he defends. It's when he chooses his moments, when to come in, when to stay out. We saw last night with Rapana again. You know, guys that don't play in that position much seem to get found out against the better sides, because they'll keep going back there. They'll test you out. You might get it right once. Will you get it right a second time? Will you get it right a third time? And then it falls back on experience. And then you bring fatigue into that as well. And all of a sudden, if they find a gap and they keep going back there, they might get some joy. So it's a big knife for Cartwright, but, you know, he's got some good players around him.
Centre position is much more difficult since the rule changed, as it has been opposed the last, you know, 10 or 15 years, where, you know, the wrestle's been more predominant. There's been a lot of inside pressure, which gives the edge defenders a much, much bigger look. And we saw last night with Rapana, who's an outstanding winger, who's not a centre, and we saw Melbourne really target him last night, and they got themselves in some trouble. And I would suspect that Cartwright's going to see plenty of traffic, and if he can get through the game without leaking any tries through his decision making, he'll have done an outstanding job, because he hasn't played the position before and he hasn't played much first grade before. But what a young talent he is! The bonus for him is his coach will certainly fill him full of confidence. It's one of Wayne's great attributes. He'll be very confident. The downside for South is a bit like the Raiders. People underestimate how many injuries South have actually got in their back line. So this is like centre number 5, isn't it, I think? You know? So yep, they've had an extremely bad run with the outside backs.
Braden Burns out, James Roberts out, Latrell Mitchell out. Yeah. It's incredible how many they're missing. But it'll be a good game. And, loving the energy all week of the Penrith Panthers. They don't care that they don't have much experience. They're ready for it.
Yeah, we haven't even spoken about Nathan Cleary yet. We'll talk more about this game that's tonight, the Panthers and the Rabbitohs. This is the Saturday Scrum for King G.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king.
Triple M rocks footy.
Melbourne Storm are there. They're in the grand final, 30 points to 10. Their defeat over the Raiders, a sensational performance from Melbourne. Now wait for the winners of the Panthers and South Sydney. We've just been having a little bit of a chat about that game, how that's likely to take shape. Em, you caught up with somebody?
Yes, I got to, I had a chat with Brian To'o during the week and got to meet his beautiful family, so his parents, Fatih and Fale. So they've got such an incredible story, and I know a lot of these young players at the Panthers do, but Brian has grown up in Western Sydney, in Wayland, really, really humble upbringing. So went to their house during the week. Some of the stories are incredible. So at times didn't have enough food for all of the kids to eat. So he's training for SG Ball and that, and wouldn't be able to eat to prep so that his siblings could eat, things like that. So it's absolutely incredible. But his mum got really emotional just talking about the fact that Brian's has said his goal now is to be able to buy his parents a home. And he's only 22. It's his second year of first grade. And she actually broke down talking about that. And she said, you know what, material possessions and money, that's not everything. And she said, as long as you've got your family and you've got love in your heart, that's all that matters. And it was honestly, it was to see her get emotional and just to see how close their family is, it was really, it was so beautiful. And I just think it puts things into perspective. It's a great reminder, I guess, about the power of rugby league, what being a professional athlete, he can now provide for his family. They've got a big family, and a sad story behind it too. His younger sister had passed away in 2008, so he's doing it for her. Every game he'll say he's going to try and score a try for her. So such an incredible story, and everyone's fallen in love with Brian To'o, his energy, all of his dance moves when he's in the sheds, when he's on the field. So I think lots of great stories in this game, but really especially for Brian To'o. And for the sake of his family, I hope he has a great game and that the Panthers can do well tonight.
It's amazing, Brent. It is the power of the game, though, isn't it?
Oh, it's great, yeah. And he's obviously a young kid who we didn't know much about, 12 or 18 months ago, and he's come in as another one of these great juniors that's come through Penrith.
Indeed, we'll see you in the next hour.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.